This is PodTech.net. I'm Michael Johnson, and we are here at Supernova 2006 in San Francisco, and we're here with Jeremy Allaire, who is the CEO of Brightcove. Tell me a little bit about, for those that may not be familiar with Brightcove, give us a thumbnail of what Brightcove is.
Sure. Brightcove is an online service that allows any website or content creator to distribute broadband programming and television services directly to consumers on the internet. And we do that with a service that gives them everything from the publishing tools to the delivery mechanism to the systems for making money, like advertising and selling content and distributing those through their own sites or through other syndicated sites as well.
You just came out of a pretty interesting panel called The Rise of the Video Net, talking about a lot of the issues of video distribution. You know, is this a new network? What is it going to be? Bandwidth issues, all of that. What do you see as the main sort of, the main challenge coming up for video distribution right now? I know the bandwidth is still one of the basic ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest challenge is how to turn it into a business where people can generate profit or generate revenue from it, whether that's a consumer who's remixing content, which is what a lot of that panel focused on, or traditional media organizations or websites who are getting into this kind of media. And I think that's a non-trivial task. I think there's a lot of hype about the space and the opportunity, but as was one of the last questions noted, it's still a very, very small percentage of the business of video today. So the global video business is right now about a $360 billion business, but the internet video business is a several hundred million dollar business. And so I think everyone's trying to figure out, even though the audience is starting to be there, what are the effective ways to both put ads in this kind of content, and what are the effective ways to sell content, what do people want to buy and use, and how to deal with these rights issues and permission issues that allow you to tap consumer interest in a way that hasn't been possible in other platforms.
Do you think the video distribution is changing the way that people are watching media right now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's really, in some respects, it's just analogous to how the web changed how people are accessing what they would have in the past gotten from newspapers and magazines or from TV. And so video consumption is now much more of a snacking behavior. It's much more of a kind of hunt and peck and find something. And that really has to do with the behavioral shift of the web. You instantly find things of interest, you consume them quickly, then you move on. And I think that is a powerful thing and a positive thing. I don't view that as a negative thing. I think it's a new and unique experience for consumers that they feel very empowered by. But that, I think, is very much a lot of what the change is.
Well, I guess one of the big questions too is how are the big legacy companies, you know, the networks and all of that, going to deal with this? Because they've got to. I mean, some folks are being very forward thinking, like ABC. They're streaming more of their programming, making some stuff available for free after their broadcast. But then it seems like their entire landscape has just shifted dramatically.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think for all the bashing that goes on of mainstream media, I think for the most part, almost every major media company, from the studio to the large TV networks to all the niche networks, they're all moving at a frenzied pace to take their content to this platform. They have constraints. They have rights constraints. They have economic constraints. They have those kinds of constraints. But I would say, on a whole, they're moving very, very quickly and very progressively, in fact.
You think a little faster than, I'd say, the record industry responded to
absolutely,
music downloads?
Absolutely faster. Absolutely faster.
What's that difference? Because it's really, in some of these cases, they're the same companies.
Well, I think that one of the primary differences was when mass piracy started happening with music, it was really before the broadband generation had been born. It was before there was broad adoption of broadband as a platform. And so I think that they were hoping that it would just sort of go away, or that as broadband grew, they'd have a way to control it and constrain it. I think we're now deeply immersed in the broadband generation, and people, it's not about fear. I don't think the networks and others, and TV and other video programs, are getting into this out of fear. It's out of opportunity. They're saying, wow, there's 500 million people on broadband who are spending more and more of their time there every day. That's a market that they can go after. And so I think it's much more progressive opportunity building than reactive to a business that's being undermined. Because right now the television business is sort of flat to slow growth. the DVD sales business is flat to slightly declining. They're not in a crisis like the music industry was, and this is really a new revenue growth opportunity for those businesses.
Where do portable media players come into this whole mix? Since I know that, certainly from my own habits, you know, the snacking, video snacking, I'm doing it more on computer. I guess you kind of have to,
yeah.
But it seems like as the mobility factor goes forward, mm-hmm. and things like, you know, I guess the video iPod and the telephone have somehow got mm-hmm. to kind of merge somehow. There's
yeah.
got to be a little
right.
bit more independent
yeah.
search power in
yeah.
that in that unit.
Well, I mean, I think that there are, it's the simple answer is there are several different screens in a person's lives. There's a screen they carry with them. There's a screen that they sit back and relax with or get informed by. And there's a screen that they're engaged with during their daily work or after work behavior, and that's the computer. And so those are three screens. They all represent different use cases for how and when and the kinds of content that you could use. And successful broadband programmers will figure out ways to craft and cut and form their content for those use cases.
Are people sort of keeping that in mind, that there's going to be that many
Absolutely.
Different media?
Yep. In fact, the biggest media companies are doing the most to create strategies where they have an asset system that allows them to deliver different versions for different audiences. So like when ESPN, you know, actually shoots SportsCenter or whatever it is, they shoot it with multiple cameras with different framing of the person, so that there's a mobile cut, there's a web cut, and there's a television broadcast cut, and they're doing that. They're spending a lot of money to do that, so they're investing on the production side to make this content ready for those platforms, and so that, and then on the sort of back office, so that they can automatically spit it out, format it, distribute it, and so forth.
So where do you see it in a few years, say with some of the larger industries responding to this? Do you think that they're going to be actively involved in this more short-form video market?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the pretty much every television network, pretty much every newspaper, magazine company, and online web property will have a substantial business in short-form web-based video programming.
And that's good. You think that's good?
I think that's good. I think it's very good.
So where would you like Brightcove to be in all of that?
Well, you know, we envision ourselves as a new media distribution company and solving all the problems that are needed to solve to create a business around this. And so where we envision ourselves is that in say, 3 to 5 years, we're distributing hundreds of thousands of unique channels of programming for niche creators all the way to the largest media companies in the world and across those different device platforms and with those different kinds of economic models embedded in them.
Okay, if people want to find out a little bit more about Brightcove, what's the website?
You can go to either www.brightcove.com or blog.brightcove.com, which is a running narrative.
Okay. Jeremy Allaire is the CEO of Brightcove.com. It's been great having you on the PodTech podcast today, and wish you a lot of luck. It's a really... It seems like a totally new area. It's almost like a new planet has been formed
it
right
is.
In the middle
it's
of
really
all
this. Really exciting.
Right. Yeah. Great to have you on the podcast.
Thank
Thanks.
You so much.